Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, welcome. Well, today we're talking about the art of choice, not the science, but the art of choice, and how mastering that art can affect our emotional well-being in love, in life, and later even in our financial well-being. Both of my guests today face tough challenges to become the successful women they are today, and now they're both passionate about helping others do the same. My first guest believes that everyone's entitled to the good life, but says that most of us don't experience this to the extent we should, because we get caught up in a pattern of reacting. So if you're carrying around hurt from your past, she knows firsthand and professionally how to give you the power to banish that hurt forever. And then coming up around 12:30, have you ever stayed in a relationship that you shouldn't have been in because of financial reasons? Or have you endured negative situations or stayed in a job you loathe, again, for financial reasons? Well, my second guest is CEO of a financial management company, and she goes beyond the science of finance to explore the art of financial success, how our choices, beliefs, and behaviors, and even the people we hang out with, can keep us in poverty or lift us to the life we desire and deserve. But first, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Karen Sherman. She's been in practice for 20 years, in private practice for 20 years. She's a contributing writer to a number of publications and has been interviewed by Men's Health, Family Circle, Self, Women's World, and more. And she also conducts workshops and speaks on relationships and lifestyle issues. Her latest book is called Mindfulness and the Art of Choice. Dr. Karen Sherman, welcome.
Hi, Vicki. Thanks so much for having me with you today.
I'm pleased to have you here. I think both of you and my second guest today in both of your books have been, you've both been on very different journeys, but both been extremely honest about the way that you got to where you are now. And so I'd like to start, Karen, if you don't mind, by asking you, let's go back a few years. You say in the book that you were a grown adult, you'd built a successful career that included your own private practice. You say that you grew up in a home that was dysfunctional beyond imagination, and it had turned you into an overactive and dissatisfied individual. You were rarely happy about the results of your choices. So tell us what point you were at there in your life and what helped you turn that around.
Well, what happened was that, you know, I became a psychologist. Many of us who are in this field have come from very dysfunctional homes. And, you know, as I say in the book, on the outside, everything looked fine. I was married. I had two children. I had this successful practice. But internally, I had no joy. I felt that I was emotionally reacting to things all the time. And I was just people-pleasing all the time. I had a weight problem for the majority of my life. And I just didn't really feel happy. Then there was something traumatic that happened with my mother. Without going into a lot of detail, I had this lifelong fantasy of having a relationship with her, and then came to the realization that she was totally emotionally unavailable. And that set me into a horrible depression. And the depression was so painful that I really didn't know if I could face the pain, and then decided that I wanted to continue to live. And from that experience, I learned the tools that would allow me to face horrible memories, horrible pain, and started to use them for myself personally. And then after that, realized that traditional talk therapy wasn't enough. What traditional talk therapy does is gives you wonderful insight, but many times you still become reactive to situations. And the tools that I was using really allows you to heal old hurts from the past. And so once I saw the difference, I really felt that it was my life's work to let other people know that they didn't have to be prisoners to their past, and they could stop just reacting and being emotionally frozen. And that's, you know, I think your introductory description of me was right. This really did become my passion and life's work.
Yeah, I could tell that from, you know, not just reading your work, but looking at your website and some of the workshops that you do, that you are very passionate about this. You know, we've done several shows on mindfulness over the last year or so. But why do you say the art of choice and not the science of choice?
Well, because I think that science is much more precise. You know, you do this, it's like baking and cooking. Baking has to be very specific, and so is science. But cooking is an art, and this process is an art. I can't tell somebody using these tools exactly what they should do, but I can teach them the tools that will allow them to learn the process of what they have to do. Everybody's journey has to be their own. But once they learn how to go through the process, then they don't have to be afraid to look at their past, and then they can, in fact, come out the other end feeling like they can face what has been troublesome and actually grow from it, and like myself, actually be happy for the things that may have happened from their past, because it can make their lives much richer and they can move from it and have a much more joyous life in the future.
And if it takes a while to get there, that's okay, right?
Oh, 100%. And I'm so glad that you said that, Vicki, because this is not going to be something that's going to happen overnight. Change does take a while, and it isn't always upward. There are slips, there are things that happen that get in the way, but it's all part of the journey. And so, yes, it is a process. It does take a while.
Yeah. Now, I'm a huge fan of Dr. Stephen Covey's work, and he says that we're not a product of our birth, we're not a product of our traits or experiences, but a product of our choice and our choices. You say choice is our doorway to freedom. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about that.
Well, what happens is, I believe, that when we're children, we learn the survival skills to make sure that our parents love us. So whatever home environment we are in, we are very smart. We figure out what will make our parents happy with us. Now, if it worked, meaning that they love us or they're pleased with us, we continue to do those things. However, those patterns may not necessarily be really effective for later life. But we continue to do them because they worked and because they're comfortable. And so we become emotionally frozen and we start working on autopilot. And so what I'm saying is that once your emotions are really leading the way, you're not free. You're not really making choices. You're just reacting. And so if, in fact, you can clear those emotions, then you have the ability to think through the choices you have. And that's what, as I said, gives you the doorway to different possibilities and different options. And even if the choice you make turns out not to really get you what you want, you can still learn from it.
Mm. A lot of those mixed messages come from conditional versus unconditional love, right? We can be told, you talk about this in the book, I love you because you're my daughter, or I love you because you're you, or conditionally, I love you because you helped me or you've done a good job.
Right.
And those messages can be very hard to get rid of, I think.
That's right. And they're very subtle. They're very subtle. You know, sometimes it's an interesting kind of thing. When parents sometimes are very abusive, it's almost easier because it's so bad you can say, wow, my parents really did X, Y, and Z. But for most of us, the messages are very subtle. You know, parents will say, oh, I love you because you're such a good helper. And, you know, I love you because, you know, you did this or you did that. And so because we've been hearing these very nice statements, we don't think negatively of them. And we don't realize that very subtly we've been told, I must be a people pleaser or I must be an overachiever because otherwise I'm not lovable.
Right.
And those are almost harder to break. Because you still come away from your childhood thinking, oh, no, my parents loved me. They never did anything horrible to me.
Right. And it just shows up in where, I mean, I can relate to that to a certain extent myself. I think probably everybody out there can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to talk about why so many of us have difficulty making choice. But we're going to take a quick break first, because I think sometimes we get into a position where we have, I know I've been in this situation where I have too many choices.
Yes.
And
yes,
we can almost become paralyzed by that fact and not move ahead. And so we end up sabotaging ourselves by getting stuck there too. But let's take a break first, because I don't want to interrupt you while you're talking about that. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is Dr. Karen Sherman.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
February 22nd on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. A day in the life of Oscar the Cat. Dr. David Dosa was more than skeptical when he first heard about the resident cat at a nursing home, the cat who regularly predicted a patient's imminent death by snuggling up to them during their last few hours. What does Dr. Dosa think now? Is Oscar the Cat a furry little grim reaper or a comfort to caregivers and patients? Join us Monday the 22nd to find out on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for hundreds of past interviews.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat?
Alternative Talk 1150 is now being broadcast in digital quality on FM 98.9 HD3. So rejoice, you early adopters of technology.
The way you talk about choice, as if it's something we were born with.
And welcome back. We're talking in this segment with Dr. Karen Sherman. Her book is called Mindfulness and the Art of Choice, How to Transform Your Life. And Dr. Sherman is a psychologist. She's been practicing for 20 years in private practice. And I wanted to talk about what stops us from making choices. Sometimes I think it's that we have too many choices out there and we paralyze ourselves. But in your practice, what do you see are the most common reasons for us not moving forward and not making change that we really think we want to make?
Well, first of all, Vicky, I want to say that I think you're right. I do think that when we are offered too many choices, it can be paralyzing. But, you know, my feeling is that most people don't even really look at all the choices that they have, and they are paralyzed from a different vantage point because, again, they have been so accustomed to doing something the same way all the time that whatever they do has become habitual. And so they don't think about what they're doing. They just do it. The second thing is change is hard. Even though they may not be getting the results that they want, it's got one thing going for it, comfort. They know how to do it. It's easier to do something you've always done than to have to make a change.
Well, true. True. Now, I want to talk about a couple of the sections in the book. One of them is our relationship with ourselves. What do we need to know about having a relationship with ourselves?
Well, until you're comfortable with yourself, all parts of yourself, warts and all, it's going to be real hard to have a relationship with anybody else. It's hard for somebody to love you if you don't love you. And it's really, you know, so many of the messages, again, inadvertently, and understand that I'm not a parent basher, and that's even with the fact that I had very dysfunctional parents. I really believe every parent has done the very best job that they were able to. But in their raising of children, intentionally, unintentionally, there are lots of negative messages that are given to a child. And we repeat those messages unconsciously to ourselves. And that then hampers us being the very best we can. And so it's important to start being aware of those thoughts. I call them garbage thoughts. And get rid of them because they're holding us back. And to understand that we cannot possibly be perfect. There is no such thing. So we have to start accepting our foibles, our imperfections, and being okay with that.
Yeah, and I think with society the way it is, you know, trying to encourage us to be thinner, better, richer, you know, more productive, more this, more that, it's sometimes hard to just say, you know what, I'm okay as I am.
Yes.
I'm perfectly okay as I am.
Yes. I'm good enough.
Yeah.
Or some parts of me are not perfect, but lots of parts of me are really fine.
Yeah, and I'm human.
Yeah.
I want to talk about controlling impulsivity. This is I don't know. I've just run into situations lately where people seem out of control, seem to lose their, have a very short fuse. And I know somebody in my life who has an extremely short fuse who can be perfectly fine 1 minute and is like Mount Vesuvius the next minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe an hour or 2 hours or the next day, you know, they laugh about it. Well, it's not very funny when you're the receiving
especially
end.
When you're the recipient of it, right?
Yeah. And you make a very good point in the book. You say, people say, oh, well, I just blew. But they're actually, there's a buildup to that blowing. They just don't realize because they're not in touch with their feelings. I wonder
exactly.
if you'd talk a little bit about controlling
exactly.
impulses.
Well, what happens is I believe that we're cut off from our bodies. We're cut off at the neck. Especially in our society, we do so much thinking that we really haven't paid attention to our bodies. And our bodies are our barometers. They will let us know if we're feeling something. Anytime we're upset about something, we're emotional about something, we are going to experience it in our bodies. But if we don't pay attention to our bodies, we're not picking up our signal. So the example I use in the book, which is a little bit, you know, basic, is, you know, how do you know when you have to go to the bathroom? Well, you feel it. And so you pay attention to that signal and you go to the bathroom. Well, if you're a kid and you're not picking up that signal, you have an accident. The same thing's happening with impulse control. I have clients come in, and they tell me, just like you just said, that I have a short fuse. Well, they don't really. If you start to teach yourself how to pay attention to your bodily signals and to your thoughts, you sort of slow it down, then you will realize when you're starting to get upset. And if you pay attention to that signal, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, at 4 or 5 or even 6, you have the opportunity to do something before it reaches 8, which is too late.
Right, right.
And that's when you blow.
Right. Now, if you're on the receiving end of that blow,
mm-hmm.
how what's the best way to handle that?
Well, you know, let's go with the obvious. You're a human. And so the likelihood is you're going to react as well. You know, it's interesting that you asked that question because a new edition of my book is coming out later this month, and I talk about how to deal with this in relationships. But best case scenario is if you can sort of keep your distance, shall we say, emotionally,
mm-hmm.
and realize that if that other person has blown, they're really reacting to something within themselves, not to you. And to not pick up the rope, not get grabbed by it, and just sort of say, wow, something really just got to you. Can you talk to me about it? You know, can you tell me what's really going on? Or if you need to take a breather, leave the room and
right.
just say, you know, you're really upset. Let's talk about this, you know, when things are a little bit calmer.
Right.
But it's very, very hard to do that.
Yeah.
Because, again, you're a human being. So the chances are you're going to react. And then when all the dust settles, you can both come back and talk about what was going on for each of you. But many times when people are reacting, they are not really reacting to what they think they're reacting to.
Yes.
Something's getting set off from the past.
Yeah, very true. It's like you can fret over, you know, I don't know, a dirty pair of socks left on the floor, and that's not the issue at all.
Right.
I mean, that's a very mild case there.
Right.
Yeah. You talk about being okay without a partner in our relationship to ourselves and to others, being okay without a partner, because there are so many people who do feel that they're not quite right if they're not in a couple, because, you know, society does, unfortunately, gear that way on many levels. What advice do you give to people about being comfortable being alone?
Well, again, it goes back to the concept of being okay with yourself. You know, I'm not going to lie. You know, my specialty is relationships. And there is a lot to be said about being part of a couple, because we want to know that we matter to someone. There's nothing wrong with healthy attachment. But when it gets to the point where the concepts that the media plays up about, you know, you had me at hello and I'm not okay without you, complete me and all of that, that's BS.
Right.
And you cannot make yourself feel that you are not worthy unless you are part of a couple. So it really connects to that thing that we were talking about before, Vicki, about accepting that you are okay for who you are, the sense of you're good enough. And again, once you start to feel good about who you are, imperfections and all, that attitude will permeate the people around you. And more likely, you're going to attract more people that way.
Mm-hmm. I was talking with a friend who's very much wants to be part of a couple, and she hasn't been for quite a while. And I said, well, you have to remember that there's a lot of couples out there who are wishing they were single.
That's true, too.
And according to the census, over 43% of Americans over the age of 15 are, in fact, single. So she's in good company.
Yeah.
Let's talk. We're coming toward the end of the segment, but I wanted to get this in. How the expectations of others and how we let that go, how we let our expectations go about what they should be doing and how we deal with what they expect from us.
That's a tough one. And our expectations so much have to do with then how we react and how we feel in a situation. And again, what we have to understand is people are raised differently. They're going to see the world differently. And that's how people will act in life based on the way they've been raised, and try very hard not to take it as a personal statement about you or your worthiness. And we have, again, a choice in life. You know, there are some people who can offer you X, Y, and Z, but maybe not A, B, and C. And you have to decide if overall the person is, you know, somebody who is good for you, if you're getting something out of the relationship. But if you're going to have very, very high standards and feel that people have to meet those standards all the time, or they're just, you know, letting you down all the time, you're going to be a very lonely person.
Mm.
Because everybody has imperfections, not just you, but the other person as well.
Right, right. And how about accepting differences? Because many people say, you know, yes, I embrace differences between people, but they really don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why I'm saying we're brought up differently.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to, you know, people will, you're right, give it lip service. Oh, yes, yes, I accept that we're different from one another. But then when it gets played out in the friendship or in, you know, a more intimate relationship, we get hurt by it. And we don't realize that when somebody, let's say, for a quick example, doesn't call you when you went to the doctor, it may not be because they don't care. It may be because they're respecting your privacy and waiting, you know, for you to take the initiative to call and share that information.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way they were raised.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've always got to go back to how we were raised and not assume that everybody else was raised the same way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what would you like our listeners to take away with them today, Karen, about making choices, about making good choices, and letting go of the past hurts?
Well, what I want people to know is that they can have a joyous life. I don't care what their background was, that was in their past, and that they don't have to be afraid to look at the pains in their past. Yes, it's initially difficult, but once you look at them and once you deal with them, they will transition and they will move, and they can have wonderful possibilities in the future. And I want everybody to know that.
And your website is, so people can find out more about you?
Dr. Karen Sherman, DrKarenSherman.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Dr. Karen Sherman. I said during the break, you were so honest in your book about your past, and I think it really helps people to see what somebody like you has gone through. And I just wonder, do you still struggle even today with some of those old challenges?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes they come up, but they don't haunt me like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to deal with them. I'm able to let them go. And it's certainly not with any kind of intensity that they used to.
Yeah. And if there's one thing that you wish you'd known 20 years ago, what would that be? I think sometimes when we look back, it's like, boy, I wish I'd known that a long, long time ago. Big question.
To stop and enjoy what's around me, the little things, and to prioritize those things, to enjoy my children, to enjoy my husband, to enjoy the little things in life.
And you do that by how?
Making sure that I take the time to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, like, the person in me who was the high achiever and having to prove myself all the time, when I'm sitting and talking to my children, I'm thinking to myself, oh, I have to get to this, I have to get that. And I say, no, this is what's important. This
right.
time with my children.
Right.
This time with my grandchild.
Right. Well, I thank you so much for being with us today.
And I thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, stay with us. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Hi, I'm Terry with tsigns.com with a quick tip for you. Next time you're organizing an event, help unify your message and spread the word with great signage. Banners, flags, decals, t-shirts, and more can all be custom designed to give your event a unique look and feel. We're a family-run business who guarantees we'll beat any price and still give you great quality and personal service. See tsigns.com or call me today, Terry at tsigns.com, 206-971-6800, 206-971-6800.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Conversationslive.net, making a difference one word at a time.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say, there's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Married a man, oh then. I married a man, he was the plague of my life. Oh, and I wish I was single again. I wish I was single again. Cause when I was single, my pockets did jingle. And I wish I was single again.
And welcome back. Welcome back. I still have Dr. Karen Sherman with me. We were just chatting, and one of the questions that came up was how memories form and why people react. And she very kindly agreed to stay on the line with us and just talk about this a little bit, because I think if we understand this, it helps us to maybe deal with them a little more effectively. So how do memories form, and how does that affect the way that we react, Karen?
Well, what happens is that, you know, early in life, there's information that we're taking in all the time. It's not necessarily factual information, but right now, as you and I are sitting here talking, there's lots of things going on, and we're taking that in, though we're not necessarily aware of it. Then what happens is later in life, if there is a situation that feels the same to us, that memory gets re-triggered. Now, because we don't necessarily remember the original event, all the surrounding events, you know, situations, but it's happening in the moment, we think it's the actual situation that's upsetting us. So, for instance, let's say a husband and wife are involved in something, and he's watching TV and he's not answering her, and she just blows a hissy fit.
Right.
She feels it's because he's not responding to her, which, of course, you know, may be a little bit annoying, but her reaction is just huge. And she carries on and on and on and on. Chances are that it's because it's really setting something off from her childhood where she felt that she was constantly ignored by one of her parents. Now, for me, and I think that this is really what's important for the audience to know, when you see in yourself or someone else a reaction that is automatic, intense, and no matter how it gets explained, you can't let it go, then you know it is a reaction from your past. And it's really good to try to either take the gut feeling that you're having and just sort of imagine back the situation that created that same kind of gut feeling, or to do some free association writing and see what comes out, because that will help to bring back the original memory. Mm. And I'm doing this really fast, Vicki.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff that allows you to get at the original memories and start the healing process.
Well, that sounds good advice to me. Very good advice. And the book is really good. It's Mindfulness and the Art of Choice, Transform Your Life by Dr. Karen Sherman. Karen, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate your time.
Okay, Vicki. And as I said, thanks so much for letting me share this information with everybody.
Yeah. And listeners can find out more about you at drkarensherman.com. That's right?
Yes, that's correct.
drkarensherman.com. Thanks so much, Karen. Really appreciate it.
Okay, Vicki. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And please stay with us. Coming up next, we'll be talking to Mariana Olszewski. Her book is called Live It, Love It, Earn It, A Woman's Guide to Financial Freedom. But we're not going to be looking just at money aspects here, because we've done a couple of shows on that lately. We're going to be looking at the emotional side, the emotional connection, and the art of choice with money. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
I'm someone
looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Pause has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967, because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at pause.org or call 425-787-2500.
Thanks for joining us on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. If you have comments or questions on any of our shows, we want to hear from you. Email info@conversationslive.net. Call Vicky toll-free at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617. Or leave a message at our special listener voicemail box, 206-414-6159. That's 206-414-6159.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And Marianne Olszewski is my next guest. She's the founder and CEO of Madison Financial Management, a multi-million dollar broker, dealer, and hedge fund company. Marianne has an MBA in international finance and a BS in finance. She's a popular speaker at conferences around the country, and she's active in many charitable and art organizations. Marianne Olszewski, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is an interesting book because I read that your book, first of all, is on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list.
Yes, thank you. Number 7.
Yeah, and I also read that you're one of the most respected women on Wall Street, and yet you come from a very different angle with this book than many financial advisors. So I wonder, tell us a little bit about the book, first of all, and why you took this approach.
I started out, you know, I've been working with money and people's money for about 15 years. I've been working on Wall Street. And I realized that so many women would come to me and just be really, like, you know, just emotional around money. They would come to me, like, fretting with their money or with tons of anxiety. Some women couldn't sleep at night. And I just found that there's so much emotions involved with spending and not spending and saving and not saving, and there was so much like psychological and emotional stuff wrapped around with women and money that I decided to start off a little bit differently with my research and really talk to women about their relationship around money.
Yeah.
And when I was doing that, I just uncovered a lot of things that I was always feeling, and my sisters, I have 3 sisters and 1 brother, and we would talk about, but I didn't know that everyone felt it. And a lot of this stuff is, yes, we're much more emotional around money, but also we think we want things, but sometimes we feel like we don't deserve, or I want to get the promotion, but I don't want to ask for it or say that I want the promotion because maybe society or even just internally, we women don't think that it's graceful or respected to talk about money and how much we want. So there were all those issues, and then there was the big issue, which was, you know, all of us, most of us at least, at one time or another, we feel like in the back of our minds, wouldn't it be great if someone came along and just swept us up and said, you know, you don't have to worry about money anymore. I'm here like our Prince Charming. And, you know, we all fantasize around that. And what I'm trying to say is let's give up the fantasy and let's do it for ourselves because it's really the easier, softer way. And if Prince Charming comes along, it's icing on the cake.
Funny you should mention that because I have a niece who refuses to read books like Cinderella to her little girl.
You know what? Someone actually, a mom said to me at one of my events the other day, she said, you know what? When I read to my little daughter about the fairy tales, I say to her, this is only a fairy tale at the end of it. This is not real. You can go out and you can make your own money and create your own life. And I said, that's fantastic. I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to basically say this is great, but it's a fairy tale if, you know, the prince is going to come. And he might come, and that's great, but there's also other things. Like, realistically, there's death. There's a lot of divorce. You know, there's, you know, sometimes we have prenups, and there's a lot of other things involved. Like, so you might get the fairy tale for a while, but
you know, most of the time or some of the time, it doesn't always end up the way you want it to be.
That's very true. And, you know, I have to say, I was read all of those fairy stories, all of them as a child. But I was very close to my father as a teenager, and he taught me, manage your own money, keep your own money. And I have to tell you, when I went through divorce, that money was the least of my worries because I was totally self-sufficient. And wow. And I try and, you know, instill that in my nieces too, because not everybody's in that situation. But I want to say your book is called Live It, Love It, Earn It. You became a millionaire by the time you were 30. Like my first guest, you had your trials and tribulations when you were younger. You said you were raised in tough working class neighborhood. Many of the girls in your town were pregnant dropouts by the time they were 15. Yet somehow you pulled beyond all of that to become the successful woman you are today, sometimes juggling three times at once. I wonder if you'd just tell us a little bit about what was it that was driving you to get beyond that?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking about that. Well, I feel like a lot of where we are today is because of where we've been. You know, I'm a full believer in all of that. And I, you know, grew up in a very loving and caring family. It was a large Catholic family. I was the oldest of five kids. We had a little apartment above a meat market in a little town in New Jersey. And so we didn't have a lot of material things at all. And a lot of people on, you know, on my block did get pregnant when they were 13, 14, 16, 17 years old and dropped out of high school. But I think what pushed me beyond all of that, I just had this really, this belief in myself, like a belief in more, a bigger and better. Like I just had this, almost like a fantasy, but this hope that life was different. And I saw a little bit about, you know, a little outside our town. And, you know, I went to New York City a couple of times and I was like, this is great. I was very attracted to New York. But it was the, I can get out of where I am and I can move forward. And I think that's the main thing that made me push forward was my belief in myself. And I had it as a young girl. I think it's inborn, but it's also created. And my father also helped motivate me. He was very much the type of person that said, whatever you dream, you can do. So I was dreaming and I was doing. And so the belief in myself created by myself, but also, you know, instilled by my parents, led me to know that I can do whatever I want. And that's the reason why I really wrote this book, was to help all of these, all women in all different situations, whether they're in a crappy apartment, whether they're in a job that's not working, a relationship that is like sucking the life out of them. If they read my book, Live It, Love It, Earn It, they will be able to change their situation because I changed mine. We have 10 other women in there, you know, highlighted women like Diane Van Versenberg, Tori Burch. Everyone, these women changed their situation, and everyone else can change their situation. And that's my big belief. My belief is that if I could do it, I kind of want to give hope to the women that are still struggling, the girls that are 21 years old saying, I can't find a job. And I want to say, read Live It, Love It, Earn It, or go to my website, liveitloveiternit.com, and there's tools in there. There's also there's motivation, and you know, my book's very motivational and empowering.
It is very motivational, and there are lots of very inspiring stories in there from women who are some who were not known at all, and some who are very well known, as you said. What made you pick out the women that you did who are recognizable names like Diane Von, I've forgotten her last name now. I'm so she's recognizable.
Yeah. No, Diane. Diane's an amazing lady, and she's very empowering to women. Well, I was writing my book, and one of my very good friends who writes a manners column, Modern Manners, is his book. He's Tom Farley. He said to me, you know, why don't you consider, a lot of people might not be able to relate to your story wholly because you're in finance. Why don't you pick some women you admire and that have empowered and instilled inspiration in you and and have an interview with them and see if you can put them in the book. And I said, that was a great idea, brilliant idea. And the first person I thought of was Diane Van Versenberg. I love her story. She came over to America, and she even says in the book, Live It, Love It, Earn It, she tells the reader that she came over and she lived the, she was very lucky, she lived the so-called American dream. So she came over from, I think it was Switzerland or somewhere in Europe, and she wanted to build this wrap dress business. And back then, you know, I guess that was about 40 years ago, 35, 40 years ago, women were like, wrap dresses? What's a wrap dress? You know, no one really, you know, caught on to that idea. And she just persisted with a strong belief in herself and a strong sense of ownership, owning her power to create whatever she wanted in her life. And she just plugged on forward until, you know, she created this dress that took off. And then a second time around in the last 10 years has recreated the whole wrap dress phenomenon, which is taking off again. But she is an American dream story. And most of the women in the book, the highlighted ones, were people that are American dream stories and people that inspired me. And I just thought they would inspire other women. I'm really trying, and I hope there's women out there that are listening, I'm really trying to reach the woman who is just down on her luck and just doesn't want to go forward anymore, to say that I've been there and I know how it is, and I had no money whatsoever. I was wearing like one pair of jeans and two t-shirts for the whole week. I mean, we had no money, none whatsoever, and a lot of hand-me-downs. I was there living paycheck to paycheck. I was there with tons of debt and student loan debt and, you know, working three jobs through college. And I can tell you, if you follow your dream and believe in yourself and use the tools and live it, love it, earn it, you'll be able to create a different life. I promise you. I'm so passionate about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And the book revolves, or the journey revolves, around 9 strategies. And the first one is maybe not one that you think of finding in a finance book. It says, say yes to yourself, but you're not talking about rampant spending. What are you talking about when you say yes to yourself, first of all, before you do anything?
I love that. We almost, Penguin, my publisher, almost named Live It, Love It, Earn It, Say Yes to Yourself. Because my message was very inspirational, even a little more than financial. It's more inspirational, the book. And say yes to yourself means when there's a million things going on in your life, take some time out and really spend some time with yourself and think about what it is that keeps pulling you. We women have such, you know, strong intuitions. And if there's something that keeps pulling you to start your own business, or, you know, get into a different industry, or get out of a relationship, whatever that pull is, to listen to it and say yes to yourself. Say yes to your instincts. Say yes to your self-respect. Say yes to eating right and being healthy. Saying yes to a balance in your life with meditation, with spirituality. So saying yes to yourself breaks down into all these different types of sections. But the biggest say yes to yourself is look inside of yourself, and wherever you're being to go to as women, try it out. It's there for a reason.
Mm. You say learn to love money, neutralize negative feelings, learn how to manage finances with calm reason, sometimes easier said than done. But you yourself confess that you had money hang-ups, and your hang-up centered on 2 things: fear of scarcity and not feeling as though you deserved prosperity. How did you overcome those, Mariana?
You know what? That is a brilliant question. I do propose in my book to love money, and we also have a money history exercise, which is basically which I did to get through a lot of my fear and a lot of my not thinking I deserve. Is a money history exercise is really going back in time and seeing where your parents, and when you were younger, what was their relationship with money? So, for example, when I was younger, my mom cut coupons. My dad hid the pennies in the washer machine at night. Like, there was all this scarcity, as you said, and fear around money. So when I looked back and saw that that was what I was kind of taught, even though they didn't mean to teach that to me, then I can say, wow, I'm aware of where this is coming from, and I accept that that's where all this is coming from. But you know what? Today my life is different. I have an education, I have a job, I have money in the bank, and I don't have to follow my money history. And what I'm trying to say to women, and we do this in my coaching classes and also in the book Live It, Love It, Earn It, and on the website liveitloveiturnit.com, that if you follow this technique and go and look at what your history was and take 15 or 20 minutes to do it, you will uncover a lot of different things. And women uncover things that, you know, their parents were getting a divorce, there was a lot of fighting around money, so they don't want to deal with money.
Mm.
You know, or they're, when they were a good girl, they got lavish gifts. So they think that something happens, they can go out, you know, people can go out and spend tons of money that they don't have. Or they were never even taught about money. So there's many different money histories. And by just looking at them and being aware of it, then you can go forward and change what you're doing today.
Yes. And I know part of mine wanting to have my own money was, when I was growing up, my parents had businesses together, but my father actually managed the money. And so my mom would always say, oh, can I have some money? I want to go shopping. And I thought, I'm never going to ask anybody for money. No, and I've talked to her about that later, you know, and it was a whole different situation than I perceived it. But it's funny how we can get something in our head.
In our head. And what you did was, a lot of people do, and I do too, in some of the instances, is I turn that around. Like, my parents were very poor, and I said, I never want to be like that. And you turned it around and you said, I never want to ask anyone for money. I'm going to go out and create it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also, we can see why we are doing the opposite. We can see that we have a strong, either negative or positive reaction to how we grew up around money. And it's very strong.
Yes,
so
it is.
So yours is very strong. It pushed you to become financially independent, which is great. But then you have to go back and you have to say, why is this happening? And now that you know why it's happening, you'll feel a little bit better when you get these strong urges to, like, my boyfriend bought me something, but I don't want it. I can pay for it myself. I used to be like that. I can pay for that myself. And it's like, okay. And if it's hysterical, it's usually historical.
Right.
So we can look at it and say, whoa, this isn't about the flowers he bought. It's about what's going on in my past.
Yes, definitely. You talk in the book about claiming your power. How do we start if we're not in that spot? And one of the things I loved, you say, you know, many spouses have a weekly date night. Make a date with your money. How do we start to reclaim our power?
Well, I love the chapter Reclaiming Your Power. It's basically owning your power. And women, I find that a lot of women actually give that power away. For instance, we're looking for that security, that person to come and swoop us down. You know, a lot of women look for that, and I've had that in the back of my mind once in a while in my 20s. I was like, I'll work till I'm 30, and then I'll just have someone, you know, deal with all my financial worries, and I won't have to deal with it. But that's not reality. So what I'm trying to say to women is to claim your power. You can go out there and, you know, sit with yourself and your instincts. What is it that you really want to do? Take back that power. If it's not what you're doing now, go out and recreate what it is that you want to do. So basically, look at where you are right now, and we have some exercises in the book to get you through your fear and your frustrations. Look at where you are today and where you want to be, and, you know, go from point A to point B. And the first step in doing that is really to get all of your ideas out of your head and put them down on paper, which I call going from fuzzy to firm. Because so many women come up to me and they're like, oh, you know, guess what? I'm going to start this business. I have this great idea. Or I'm going to be getting a promotion next year. Or I'm going to, you know, quit my job and then move to Australia. You know, whatever it is. And the next, like a year later, I'll be like, oh, so how's that move? How's that new business? And I get, oh, I don't have enough time. Oh, I forgot to do it. Oh, and the reason why is because when we don't take our ideas out of our head and put them on paper, and it's so simple, like, if we don't take them out of our head, we're never going to realize it. So we've got to take them out of our head, put them down on paper, and it's a little scary because it's like, ooh, now they're down on paper.
Right, right.
But when they're down on paper, we can just destroy them and not do them. Or maybe we can say, let's tweak this. Or maybe we can say, let's put it in a shoebox until next year. But when they're out of our head, we're much more freer to follow them and take the next step, and it's more real. So I'm trying to get women to, with these tools like the fuzzy to firm technique and the follow your dream technique in Live It, Love It, Earn It, and also on our website, liveitloveiturnit.com, I'm trying to get women to say, let's follow these simple, fun, you know, money could be fun exercises and tips to to actually realize what it is that we want to do and start owning our own power.
Mm. Well, we've only got 30 seconds left, Mariana, but what do you want women listening today and the men who love them, what do you want them to know about your work?
I just want women and the men who love them to know that you're very strong, stronger than you think, and if you follow that intuition and follow your dreams, you can have it all, I promise.
And you've plugged it several times, but let's do it again.
LiveItLoveItEarnIt.com or LiveItLoveItEarnIt on Amazon.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. My guest, Mariana Olszewski, I'll spell her last name. It's Olszewski, but LiveItLoveItEarnIt.com is the website, and you can find out more information there. Great book. Lots of really fun information in there. It's not at all a dry finance book. And I want to thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate your time and spending this hour with us. We'll be back next week. Until then, live well, live strong.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
February 22nd on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. A day in the life of Oscar the Cat. Dr. David Dosa was more than skeptical when he first heard about the resident cat at a nursing home, the cat who regularly predicted a patient's imminent death by snuggling up to them during their last few hours. What does Dr. Dosa think now? Is Oscar the cat a furry little grim reaper or a comfort to caregivers and patients? Join us Monday the 22nd to find out on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for hundreds of past interviews.
What's new, pussycat? Cat?